Well, it is a pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Wes Tillett. I serve as Executive Director of Lafayette Urban Ministry. I thought I would just do a little introduction of myself and LUM and then pray and get into the message. Here's a picture of my family, my little home team. And yes, we were celebrating last night. My wife has chosen Purdue to win the NCAA championship every year for the last 45 years that she's been alive. So she's finally winning the bracket in a little family pool. So she's very excited. I have two kids at Harrison High School, two kids at Battleground Elementary and Intermediate Schools. Lafayette Urban Ministry, we say we are a community-wide effort to tackle basic human needs and uplift the people of Greater Lafayette. By night, we are a shelter for people who are experiencing homelessness. By day, we run about 15 other programs to help prevent people from sliding into homelessness. Our purpose is to uplift people. We hear many times, hey, we would not be where we are today without your help. Here's a picture. I was here in December observing your Jubilee Christmas effort. You guys do a fantastic job with Jubilee Christmas. And yeah, I'm just so grateful for our Savior Lutheran Church and all the different ways that you serve us. A lot of people know that we do the shelter, we do the Jubilee Christmas, but there's actually a long list of programs that exist for LUM beyond those couple of things. Whenever you hear of LUM, I want our Savior Lutheran Church to feel like, hey, that's us. As LUM is comprised of 52 different local churches, and Our Savior Lutheran Church has been a huge part of LUM for very near the beginning. I looked at the last 13 years of giving, because that's all our electronic records would show me, and it was $130,000 that Our Savior Lutheran Church has shared with LUM. You've given to Jubilee Christmas, you've given to our Good Samaritan Fund, which helps people with rent and utilities, again, preventing people from sliding into homelessness. You've given to our LUM camp, which runs during the summer. You've given to our food pantries. And I want to say a sincere thank you to all of you, to Our Savior Lutheran Church, for your partnership as we're trying to honor human dignity and really live out the gospel message that we read here in Matthew chapter 25, which is the foundational text for Lafayette Urban Ministry. One last little shout out. On page 21 of your order of worship, there's an invite to something called We've Got Talent. So We've Got Talent is happening this Friday. I think we've got 170 of the 210 tickets sold. So we're expecting that to sell out fairly quickly. If you want to be part of that, come. It's going to be at St. Andrew United Methodist Church. We've got 10 amateur talent acts. And by amateur, I don't mean bad. I just mean they're not professional. And we've got four kind of local celebrity judges that are going to be there judging the competition. And it's catered by Lafayette Brewing Company. There'll be some good food. So just a really fun evening. It is a fundraiser for the Good Samaritan Fund, because 100% of the money that comes into Good Samaritan Fund, we pass on to people in the community who need it. Again, for rent, utility, prescription medications, things of that nature. So an invite to that. All right, I'd like to say just a word of prayer and then launch into the message. Jesus, we thank you that you do find us everywhere. Fill us with joy. Send us your Holy Spirit to hear what you want to say to us, and give us your Spirit that we might live it out. In Jesus' name, amen. So this fall, it's actually Halloween. It was a really cold day, the first really cold day of the whole beautiful month of October. I was downtown walking along, and there was a man laying flat on his back in the grass next to the sidewalk. I walk over towards this man, and I'm not sure if this guy's alive or conscious or what's going on. There's a bike there with a little cart hooked up behind it and a few kind of bedraggled items in this cart. And I get close. He's got a hood pulled down completely over his eyes. He can't see anything. But he kind of grunts when I get close. I was like, okay, he's alive. That's good. What am I going to do? What should I do? I'm fascinated by Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus talks about the sheep and the goats, and what you do for the least of these sisters and brothers of mine, you do for me. It's not like what you do for others is sort of like what you do for God. He's like, no, they are one and the same. How you treat other people is how you treat Jesus himself. One of my personal heroes is Mother Teresa, who served the least, you know, the untouchables, the people literally dying in the streets in the city of Calcutta, India, in Kolkata, it's now known as. And she was motivated by Matthew 25, which she took very literally. And she said, when we serve the poor, we serve Jesus, who comes to us in the most distressing disguises. And people would often ask Mother Teresa why she loved the poor, or how she could honor the dignity of human beings in such difficult situations. Why do you do what you do? What motivates you? And she would do something that was brilliant and awkward, and I want to do it because I think awkward makes it memorable. She would take, can I borrow your hand? She would just take somebody's hand, and she would squeeze each finger and said, you did it to me. That was it. That's why I do what I do. That's what motivates me. I'm going to do it, another awkward thing, same thing. You did it to me. You can try to do it to yourself. Just squeeze each finger. You did it to me. Because I think Mother Teresa's brilliance is you're hearing it, you're seeing it, you're feeling it. But just those five little words is what kept her getting up day after day, decade after decade, to go find children, old people, discarded people, and love them. Give them a dignified death. Give them a meal. Give them hope. Give them family. You did it to me. Of course, the reverse, Jesus says, if you don't do it to people, you're not doing it to me. There's no neutral ground. Well, I thought about doing it to you, Jesus. It's like, no, it's either you did it or you didn't. Sort of like Star Wars, there is no try, right? I think the question for me is, can I see Jesus in the person right in front of me? Especially when I encounter somebody who is the least in the world's eyes. The people that cannot possibly repay me for the kindness. People who are powerless, vulnerable, overlooked. The losers, the lonely, the abandoned. They is Jesus, according to Matthew 25. And if I truly love Jesus, I'm going to want to be near him. And if I want to be near him, I have to go to those uncomfortable places and be around people that I'm maybe not naturally drawn to. And I admit, this is hard for me. I have a confession. You guys ready for confession? My confession is this. I don't love the poor. Maybe that's a little weird to hear from somebody who's an executive director of an organization that's whole mission is to serve the poor. But it's the truth. I'm not naturally drawn to enjoy people who have financial difficulty. Mother Teresa said she could see Jesus in the poor. And for me, it's hard to see Jesus. Instead, I tend to see what I've already prejudiced to look for. Generational poverty, poor financial choices, low education, family brokenness and dysfunction, unwise relationships, drug addiction, substance abuse, mental illness, physical illness, on and on. My biases and my prejudices, when I place them on people, I tend to find them and confirm my biases. But it is a bunch of biases and prejudices. And I'm not inclined to interact with or love the poor. But I think maybe that's why Jesus says to me, hey, Wes, why don't you go serve the poor night and day at Lafayette Urban Ministry? Because all my life, I think God has been trying to teach me that love, the love of Christ, is not about my own natural inclinations, my own opinions and preferences. Love is about a choice modeled in Jesus Christ, that choice to give myself fully to somebody else, to seek the best interests of others. St. Thomas Aquinas in the 13th century gave this brilliant definition of love. To love is to will the good of the other. To love is to will the good of the other. It turns out love is a choice. It's an act of the will. That's where I often get tripped up. I make the mistake of thinking that love starts in my heart with this warm feeling I have for somebody. I really, really like them. And if the liking gets intense enough, then I will love them and I will do something for them. I think there's a slide there that shows this kind of mistaken idea of what love is or how it works. I think that's how the world teaches us what love. Love is just an extension of liking someone. But as we look at the scriptures and we look at Jesus, that's not how it works. It actually works more like this. Love starts with God, who is love. And God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, still rebels against God, Christ willingly died for us, reconciling us to God. When I understand that message, it starts to transform my understanding of who I am, of who God is, of how life works. And I can choose to will the good of the other. I do think that love comes on and starts to transform our feelings. But even if I don't feel it, I can still deliberately make the choice to seek the best interest of someone else. This means I can love people I don't like. I can love people who don't like me. I know it sounds crazy, but I can love people who vote differently than me. I can love people who want to exclude me, cancel me, because it's not about how I feel towards them or they feel towards me. It's a deliberate choice to seek their best interests. That doesn't mean I necessarily affirm and agree with everything somebody else stands for. Any parents in the room? I mean, you know, right? You love your kids like crazy, but you're not just gonna say, affirm and agree with everything they say or do. Out of your love for them, that sometimes you oppose them, but always with the idea of seeking their greater good, the best interests. I think that's how God's love works for us in Christ. God intentionally chose to draw near to us. I like the message, the kids' message, where Jesus is finding us. He wants to be in proximity to us. And if we want to be in proximity to him, we need to see Christ in the person right in front of us, especially when it comes to the least. And God is smart enough to know I can't do that on my own strength. It's impossible. That's why he sends the Holy Spirit, his own spirit of Jesus, his own spirit of love to live within each of us so that we can live this out. Like a vine and the branches, Christ is the vine. We are the branches. We can bear much fruit through him. So back to the original story, this guy laying flat on his back in the cold. I kind of help him to his feet. He says he's just super tired because he slept under an overpass. Said he's thirsty. Said he's really cold. All very understandable. And I'm racking my brain there thinking, what can I do? I know that there's a day shelter with our community partners, LTHC. Can you go to the day shelter? You can get a meal. And it's like, I've got a no trespass on me. I can't go there. They won't let me be in there. I'm thinking, okay, there's a gas station nearby. Maybe I can go get a cup of hot chocolate or coffee or something and get this guy warmed up. And then it dawns on me. I'm not even joking. It took me a couple of minutes to realize this, that there's this place downtown Lafayette where their whole purpose is to honor human dignity. They have like a shelter for people who are experiencing homelessness at night. They have a bunch of programs during the day that help people who are in that situation. It's called Lafayette Urban Ministry. That's where I work. It's like, oh, yeah, I should probably just invite him down to Lum and see if we can get him a bed for the night and get him a meal. It honestly took me a couple minutes to realize that. So I said, hey, I'm going to Lafayette Urban Ministry. Let's just walk together, and at least you can get in out of the cold and warm up for a bit. So we're walking along, and it starts to snow. And I learn his name. I learn kind of his family situation and just trying to listen and get to know this person. We get to Lum and set the bike aside and put it in a place where we can still see it so nothing's going to happen to that. And I invite him in. Say, hey, can I get you a sack lunch? Yes. Can I get you some gloves? Yes. How about a cup of coffee? Sure. Can I have 3 sugar packets? Yeah, absolutely. So I get the gloves and the coffee. I come with the coffee. He's like, can I have 4 more sugar packets? I was like, sure, why not? So he's sitting there sipping his highly sugared coffee, warming up, and the hood comes off. The body starts to relax. He thanks me several times. It's just a tiny moment where human dignity starts to be honored, where somebody is seen as a human. And I was able to do this by the grace of God and because of support from people such as yourselves and Our Savior Lutheran Church, all these 50-some churches partnering together to provide a place where the least are met and their needs are met and people are treated with dignity in spite of the fact they have no power or no money. You did it to me. How we treat the least is how we treat God himself. And so my siblings in Christ at Our Savior Lutheran Church, may you have the ability to see Jesus in his most distressing disguises. May you choose to will the good of the other. May you live in intentional proximity and with love for the hungry, the thirsty, the homeless, the lonely, the needy in our midst. And may you, when your earthly journey is over and you stand before your Savior face to face, may you hear him welcome you with a smile of gratitude and say, take your inheritance of eternal life. For what you did for the least of my sisters and brothers, you did it to me. Amen.